random topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how old this laptop is, because I think I told you Rob bought it for me 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. But it was a refurb off of a business lease. So I don't know how old it is. Theoretically, I can upgrade it to Windows 11, but I have to go into deep into the settings someplace and change something.
Yeah,
so, I haven't gotten around to it yet.
That's usually my recommendation when people are like, what kind of laptop should I get for browsing the web? It's like, go to one of those places that buys laptops from corporate leases by the pallet and refurbishes them and throws, a fresh Windows on there. You usually get them for like $100, maybe $150.
This was, I think, around that range. Yeah, well, to be fair to Rob, he bought this thinking that it would be his. He bought it when he was leaving his previous employer and he bought out his work laptop.
Yeah.
Thinking that I would want his old work laptop. But as it turns out, no, because it had almost no USB ports to it whatsoever. I'm like, no, I actually need to connect a lot of peripherals. I have blah, 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 blah. Like, why don't you just keep that since it's been yours for the last however many years?
Well, before we started recording, we were talking about the limitations of having, not that we have a studio in the Carla's employer sense, but we have a corner of my winter home that is dedicated to this purpose, basically. Here we have this small Target Threshold brand, I think, really small desk that's in a corner of our bedroom that during the day is my work desk. And then I pull out this microphone stand and everything right before we record. And it doesn't clamp to the desk very well. So we were about to hit record and the microphone stand just collapsed onto me.
So you're going to be more inclined to do this than I am. Because I was, to my colleague who was kind of responsible for designing the tech of our podcast space at work, talking about my setup here at home and it's not the most ergonomic, et cetera. And she said, have you thought about wall mounting some things? You can wall mount your monitors. You could also wall mount the microphone stand that they have arms that will mount to the wall. I'm disinclined to do that in my house.
I'm not doing that in our tiny little condo. This is our bedroom.
That's what I was kind of thinking, but I figured I'd throw that out there.
Now, this room behind us, I'm trying to point. I don't know what I'm doing very well. There.
Yeah.
This thing right here.
It's like writing in a behind mirror, my head.
Yeah.
I see it.
That's a pretty good size walk-in closet that we have decided we're going to make half closet and storage and half a small, I don't say a workspace, but Dana does hobby crafty things. I do hobby crafty things. And so we're going to put a small, kind of built-in bench in there, a desk. That will probably have a wall-mounted monitor and maybe a wall-mounted stand. So that might ultimately become the podcast studio as well in the future. But it's also very small and echoey, so I'd have to hang
Well, let Dana fill it with clothes first, and then you'll be...
That one's not the clothes walk-in closet. The one off camera here is the clothes walk-in closet. That's already surprisingly not full of clothes. We've both done a pretty good job of this is a small place. It's a place we're only at for portions of the year, far less than half. Let's keep it not full of stuff. And we've done pretty good about that. But it is challenging to do the podcast thing here.
Hi, Matt.
Hello, Carla. How are you? The roles are turned.
Well, I was just...
How's things? How's it going?
Good. So talking of stuff and not having a lot of stuff. So spent many hours this past weekend with my brother and my two cousins on one side of the family clearing out one of our other family members' homes. She had passed away. She didn't have kids of her own. So we... All the family of a certain generation are going through and cleaning out stuff. And there's just so much stuff. Because it was unexpected that she passed away. So she didn't really have like a downsizing period. Like a lot of my grandparents downsized before they passed. So actually that's where Kiddo and Rob are right now, is I have a drone now. And we think it might even work. We found that at her house.
A drone so at your...
A drone at my aunt's, yes.
Okay. That seems...
I've got a lot of yarn. We've got just all sorts of random stuff.
So I want to know how your aunt, because she's elderly, right? Or was?
She was 70.
Ended up with a drone.
I am guessing that she bought it, but she might have won it in a contest. I don't know. It's not like any of this stuff came with instructions.
Yeah.
There were lots of surprises to be found in this house.
It's some amazing.
Of which I cannot mention on this podcast.
Okay. And you indirectly just did, so...
Yeah.
It is amazing how quickly stuff just adds up, right? And it's things like, mm-hmm. Oh, we got a new toaster. Do we hold on to the box for some period of time? Where do we put the box?
Right.
And how long's okay to throw the box? We did finally throw the box away. We waited like a month or something like that. But like, if you're not careful, stuff just adds up.
Mm-hmm. The best mantra, I'm trying to live by this, is don't put it down, put it away. Don't put it down, put it away.
Yes. Now
I've got this paper that I should file and I could take,
you know, preaching
the
to the choir
upstairs.
Here.
And I have stuff. I mean, I just set it down and so I'm trying.
I tell Dana this all the time. Spend the extra few moments to finish the thing, right? To put it where it goes or to open, you know, like file the mm-hmm. stuff that needs to be held onto. Just go from
Does that come naturally to you,
B.
though?
Mostly.
Okay. See, this is why, like, I'm not convinced that you're ADHD. Like, you have lots of hobbies and lots of interests, but, like, this is work. I was just talking to somebody else. My Duolingo streak is now, I'll look it up here. My Duolingo streak is 1,571 days. And if that stupid bird
That's
didn't
over
remind
4 years,
me
right?
every single day, I would forget. There's a couple streak freezes in there. Like, I had surgery in there. So there's a couple. But, like, they talk about X number of days to form a habit. And I'm here to tell you that after 4 years, it is still not a habit. I still need a push notification on my phone to remember to do it. That part of my brain just does not function.
Anyway, shall we pick a topic? And,
well, do we have any voicemails? She asks.
Yes.
Ooh, do we?
Do you know that we do?
No, I don't know if we do. I'm asking.
We do have a voicemail.
Here.
I almost forgot. Golly.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes.
Hi, Matt and Carla. It's Molly. I was excited to see astronomy as the topic because, as Carla will know, and it has probably already happened by the time you hear this, I don't know your recording schedule. I'm having an astronomy birthday party soon. My birthday was over a month ago, but we're having a belated birthday party at the Lake Erie Nature and Science Center at the planetarium. We're having an adults-only planetarium show where they're going to tell us the rowdy myths behind the constellations. But that's not why I'm calling. What I really wanted to call about is the story of Earth's ring, which is what my brother told his wife one night when they were laying out in the yard and looking up at the stars, because where we grew up, like, you can still see a lot more stars than you can see in the Cleveland area. And they were at my parents' house in the yard looking up at the stars, and she went in to go to the bathroom, and a plane went over, and you could see the contrail pretty clearly. And she came back out, my brother pointed up and said, "Oh, look, you can see Earth's ring tonight." And for quite a while had her convinced that Earth had a ring that just wasn't visible at the time. So my brother is kind of a jokester is not the word that I want to use, but I know that sometimes kids listen to this, so I will censor myself. Anyway, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Earth's rings. Yes.
I love long cons like that. I'm not as good at it as I used to be, but that is totally something that I would do. So Molly, you can use that censored word on me.
So
as well.
I will say, so Molly's belated birthday planetarium show has not happened yet. It is soon. But we did have a total lunar eclipse.
Yeah, I did
since
not.
Since we recorded.
I did not get up to see it.
No.
I was in.
Rob got up and he said it was pretty cool. He tried to wake kiddo up. Because we asked her, like, you know, it's at 2:30 in the morning where we are. Should dad try to wake you up? Yes. You know, very emphatic. She's obviously remembering the FOMO of the Aurora Borealis. And he's like, yeah, I got her to sit up. And then she kind of just like slumped back over. So
I was I was traveling for work during the eclipse. And I'm like, I need to be up and doing things.
Yeah, you need to be alert.
But I did go to bed, looking forward to like opening Facebook the next morning and seeing incredible photos by
the many
talented astrophotographers that are out there that I knew captured it. And there have been quite a few. I need to become better friends with Molly so that I can get invited to adults only astronomy parties, because that sounds.
Well, you're in Florida, so sorry.
There are airplanes.
It's true.
And we do come home for basically any reason.
I was going to say, you remind me and I'll tell you when it is. You can try to finagle an invite because I think you've got time.
I don't want to invite myself, even though I'm kind of like publicly doing so, I guess.
Okay.
But no, that sounds super cool. You have very cool friends, Carla.
I do, Matt. I do. I have friends with podcast equipment.
Now can we pick a topic?
Yeah, let's pick a topic now. Okay.
But before we do that, I'll say thank you, Molly, for calling. For everyone else who's listening and did not call, you should do so. 216-505-0180. And we have that contest going on with just a few more episodes before we pick a winner and announce, where you could win a perpetually undesigned coffee mug. It will be designed before then. So if you want details on that, I don't know, listen to every other episode where I went into it. Leave a voicemail, maybe win a coffee mug. That's the gist of it.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Babies!
Babies.
I can do it.
I think we've done kids before. I don't know. Children. We did some
semi-related topic. Children.
I mean, I don't know anything about babies other than that they're very small and there's very one specific way that they're made.
with some variation. But
There are variations, but there's certain components that typically combine.
Like Voltron. Are you saying that you want to veto babies?
I'm tempted to veto
babies.
We've done children, and I don't know what else to say about babies.
All right.
Let's try again.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop.
Football.
All right, I'm vetoing that.
All right, we're in the danger zone, Carla.
Double veto. Danger. Okay.
Danger zone.
Fingers crossed. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop.
Barbers.
Oh, we're so hosed.
This is bad. This is bad.
Okay, so can I tell you who my favorite barber is?
Do you? Yes. We got to do something, right? So
it's
yes,
Bugs Bunny. It's Bugs Bunny. It's,
okay.
Because have you seen? It was one of the best like dollars I have ever spent. It was a Friends of the Library book sale, and they had a little section of children's DVDs, and it's all Warner Brothers cartoons from like the 1930s until probably the 1960s is the most recent one. Anytime there was something music or musical, And so in addition to the Kill the Wabbit with Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd, there was also The Barber of Seville. And they make Bugs Bunny the barber. And it's, oh my God, it's hilarious. It's so funny. It's so well done. I think it's probably still copyrighted, so we can't, you know, share the clip. But yes, that's, whenever I think of it, like, instantly, it's got the striped pole, and he's got the straight razor, and he's cleaning up Elmer Fudd. And that was my first exposure as a small child to what a barber is, because nobody goes to, I shouldn't say that. Very few people go to a barber for a shave anymore. So I'd
be so nervous. I mean, like, well, and I just finished Service Model, right? So
That
makes me extra nervous, right?
Not really a spoiler for Service Model by Adrian Tchaikovsky, for those who are interested in the book.
A recommendation
very early
from
on,
Carla.
There is a shaving incident with a straight razor.
And it does not go well.
No. I mean, barbers in pop culture in general, you've got Sweeney Todd. But then at the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you've got like the barbershop movies. It's very much a part of Black culture now, the barbershop, which I have not seen either of those films.
They're pretty funny.
Or are there two of them or are there three of them?
Or
more. I know there's at least two.
That's a good question. And I think I've only seen the first one.
Usually the first is the best anyway. But yeah, barbers in pop culture like are either murderers or it's, you know, a comedy. It's the complete opposite end. And they're kind of like neighborhood hubs of social gossip. And
yeah. I used to run a business, and I was asked to participate in this like leadership program in the county that the business was based in, where every year they get like civic leaders, business leaders, and other people who are kind of involved in the community in some capacity together. They do this monthly program where they go and visit other businesses and other community things, and kind of it's kind of a bit of a network thing, I guess. It was actually a lot of fun because we saw like how a bunch of different businesses in the area.
I was gonna say, it sounds kind of like a chamber of commerce type of thing.
Similar. A lot of the people, I don't think it was sponsored by the chamber, but it was kind of affiliated with. And I know at least a couple of the people in the business were affiliated, but that's how I got to know like the executive of the library system in that area. And that's how I got to know, and somebody had gone to high school with that I hadn't even kept up with was in the program because she was an executive for, I think, one of the local healthcare systems. It was kind of a mix of civic people and a mix of business owners. And one of the business owners in this program was a barber. Not a hairstylist, not a, you know, but he is a barber and owns the barbershop and had the traditional thing. And apparently
the striped pole.
The striped pole, yeah. Apparently did pretty well. And that was one of those, like, I didn't know barbershops were still a thing. Like, I didn't know there was even one in town. And here, somebody who's running a successful, maybe not successful, because later he tried to get me into an MLM. So I don't know. I guess he could be successful.
What's a guy MLM? Because I'm so used to those targeting
this
women
one
and
some,
mothers in particular.
This one was some kind of a like a sports drink kind of a thing. So yeah, I thanked them for their time and went on my way. But yeah, so that's the one and only barber I've ever known personally. Do you know, what is the significance of the thing, the striped pole thing?
There is a significance. Do I remember it off the top of my head? No, I do not. Do you want me to Google it? I do know that barbers used to be the ones that would do like tooth pulling and very rudimentary dental care.
I did not know that. But yes, let's look it up. I'm sure our listeners will want to know.
Yeah. So from the totally reputable blog, the Uppercut Deluxe. Yes, hundreds of years ago, barbers didn't just cut hair. They also worked as dentists and surgeons. And so the red and white stripes of the barber pole originated from a practice known as bloodletting.
Oh, no.
As an attempt to cure people from infection. So they used to drain blood. And the bloody bandages associated with the bloodletting inspired the red and white stripes. I'm going to look for one other source.
That's
here we go.
Freaky.
History.com.
slightly more reputable.
Oh, no, it's the same. Like, it goes all the way back to the Middle Ages. During the Middle Ages, bloodletting, which involves cutting open a vein and allowing blood to drain, was a common treatment for a wide range of maladies, from sore throat to plague. Since barbers were dealing with sharp instruments, because if you think about it, you know, metal was harder to manufacture. You know, they call it pin money for women because, you know, trading in needles and pins was a big deal. It's hard to make those things. So very few people probably had something sharp to cut with that was also something approaching sterile. I mean, like, obviously not sterile, but at least maybe not like rusty. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I knew that bloodletting was like a thing way back in the day. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was barbers that conducted that, or at least could, like, were authorized. That's wild. I didn't know that.
It also is kind of wild to think about how far back the profession of being a barber must stretch. Like, we've been trimming our naturally growing facial hair, head hair, whatever, for millennia at this point, right?
I wonder,
like, who's the first guy who's like, this hair, you know, it's just gotta go. This beard just like, gotta go.
Or let's shape it. Let's turn it into something stylish.
Who's the first person to try mustache wax? Yeah.
Right. Let's put product and see if, let's make it stand up and contort into shapes.
Yeah, because I mean, like, modern barbers now are like, you've kind of got like the camp of, there was a barber shop not far from my high school. And I know my brother used to walk there and a couple other guys would walk there. And it was like stupid cheap. You had like three options for haircuts. And the stylists had their cigars or cigarettes on ashtrays. This is before Ohio had a smoking ban, right there on the countertop as they're working on you. So there's that kind of like old school, no fuss, no frills. And then you've got like fancy, where you're doing the fades, or if you've got a hipster guy, you know, he's getting his beard shaped and trimmed in a specific way.
Oh gosh, I didn't even think about how the hipster generation, like how that, I mean, I, that seems like a very hipster thing to do, is go to the barbershop and have your beard waxed and get the perfect, you know, get all of the
There's
detail
one
done.
Barbershop that's got multiple locations that I'm aware of in the Cleveland area where you can go and have like the hot towel wrapped around your face and they'll lather you and they will shave you with a straight razor. And like, I'm making judgments based on both their logo and the pictures of people on their website, but it is a very hipster establishment, is my guess. Whereas most, by and large, I think the most of the barbershops are not catering to that. It's, you know, people who want their hairline to be crisp and they want a nice, you know, neat trim appearance.
That's not me, obviously, as you can tell.
Yeah, you kind of are. I mean, we've discussed before the Jimmy Buffett look there on you. So,
yeah, it's getting a little wild. My hair, let's see, it's definitely to the, I'd say to the bottom of my shoulder blades, perhaps even longer than that now.
Okay.
I just don't care. And I also mean, down here, I don't want to go, I don't want to go find a place to cut my hair. I'll just do it when I get home.
In Florida, it's very much a Jimmy Buffett thing. I feel like in a different area, you might lean more Viking. I don't know.
Well, I have, I know we're a little off topic already, but I mean, we have to, because this is going to, the episode will be over otherwise, right? But I own like one dress shirt down here because, again, I don't need to go places that require any sort of, I don't know, finesse. And that one shirt is a patterned kind of a Florida looking shirt. So I'm sure with that and like the hair pulled back, I'm like rocking the Florida look probably pretty hard.
Yeah.
And you're right. I don't think it would work back home.
You have Crocs that you can wear or some flip flops.
I know. I mean, I do wear flip flops like more often than not. Why not, Carla? But I guess back on topic. I've always shaved with like an electric shaver. I'm actually kind of curious what like an actual close barber shave would like feel like. But I don't think I trust somebody to have like a weapon of destruction like that
next
like,
to your jugular.
Exactly. Like, I know that that's the profession and that they do it like that's what they do, right? But mm-hmm. it would make me nervous, right? It would
you need like a super, witness super to come nervous. With you, like recording it the entire time in case.
Well, I actually worry more about myself. Like do, if I twitch or something like that, you know? Like what if I have to clear my throat?
Ooh, what? Like intrusive dangerous. Thought.
The only other thing I can think of that is barber related is the barbershop quartet.
Oh, I do like barbershop quartets. Of course I do.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty impartial. And the only one I know of is, what was the name of Andy from The Office, his quartet?
I've seen a couple episodes of The Office. I don't know.
All right, I'm going to Google it.
Google it.
I'm sorry, it's actually an a cappella group, not a barbershop.
Oh, I was going to say, because it was in The Simpsons, Homer Simpson had a barbershop. It was like the Sharps something.
All right, I'll look that one up too.
The B-Sharps. So
the a cappella group in The Office is called Here Comes Treble.
Yeah.
Homer's Barbershop Quartet. The B-Sharps, you were pretty close.
Yeah, go me. I said B-Sharps.
Oh, you were spot on then.
Yeah.
I will give you a slow clap.
Yay.
Okay. This can't be the episode where we just Google things.
So. No, I know. Ah, man, barbers. I mean, so it's a very like
what differentiates,
male thing. Like, yeah,
I was going to say, what differentiates a barbershop from
a salon?
A salon or just, yeah.
I honestly don't know. I mean, it's a very cultural thing. Like a woman does not get her haircut at a barber. She goes to a stylist or a hairdresser. You know, there's a couple different words for it.
But that doesn't go both ways. Like my aunt, as I've mentioned before, owns a hair salon and men go there, right?
Absolutely.
But I would say it is predominantly women though, but I think it's just because women typically
More hair.
I mean, I have more hair and have like, I'm here to do all of the following things, right? Whereas every time I've seen a man in there, myself included, it's like, just trim it up, clean it up.
Yep,
then I'm out. Then I'm out of here, you know, 10 minutes in and out. So you don't see a lot because
I wonder if it's the shaving aspect of things. Like you don't get a shave at a salon, but you could get a shave at a barber, maybe.
Oh, that's a good question, too.
Because
I have gotten a shave at the salon before.
Oh,
not like,
okay.
not the razor blade shave, right? But like, you know, they've got the clipper. So if things are a little extra bushy, you know, and I say, hey, can you clean this up a little bit?
Like an eyebrow razor.
Right. Like they don't whip out the razor blade and like,
not
you
a
know,
straight
sharpen
razor.
It on the strip
the strop
of leather.
And, you yeah.
Know? Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the only differentiation. And then the cool bloodletting sign on the door too. Like those are the only two things that I can think of. I would say, I was going to say that I feel like barbers usually wear an apron, but I think stylists usually do.
Do they? I don't even know. So say stylists always have those black smocks on. It's kind of like the cosmetologist staple.
What's the difference between a smock and an apron then?
Sleeves.
Sleeves.
I would say that's how I define the difference. Like an apron, you know, you have to tie around your waist.
This is thrilling.
I mean, you asked.
I'm really, really stretching
here. Oh, I had
something
for a second there. Shoot. I had a glimmering of a tangent. Of something that might actually be interesting. I don't know.
Do you know, I mean, do you have any people in your family that would go to a barber?
I don't
just know what
no,
little I know of your brother.
Was,
he seems the type
it,
that
he
would
was,
go to.
He was because he was rocking the high and tight, and now he's got a comb over situation going on, which he always mocked our father for, and now he has done. Now, I was going to say, there was the whole pandemic home barbering situation. I think might have talked about that before, but we did that where we got a set of clippers. And I was like, okay, Rob, I could try to do like different numbers in different parts of your head, or I could just do the same thing all over. And so I did the same thing all over. And it was obviously different than what he gets from a professional, but it looked fine.
Yeah.
And then I have a nice pair of like hair cutting scissors that I had from when I used to trim kiddos, like bangs. When she was a toddler, her hair kind of like, she was practically bald on the back of her head, but all of her hair on the front of her face, like, would grow straight down so she could never see. So I kind of like had to get creative and judge things around. So she had bangs for a short while as a very young kid. And so I would just trim those myself.
I mostly just let it go. But that was probably a pretty good business to be in during COVID, is selling hair clippers, because I bet everybody was doing this, right?
Yeah. So, you know, talking about COVID and the COVID haircut, so that's because barbers and hair salons and things are one of the businesses that got shut down in Ohio, at least. So the executive orders came out and targeted specific business categories each, you know, at a time. Yeah. And my theory was, and I don't know how I would ever back this up, but it was all things that had some sort of license that the state would issue. So you have to have a cosmetology license and, beyond just the general business license that you need, there's a specific accreditation that you have to maintain. Same thing with like liquor licenses are awarded by the state. It felt kind of weird that like salons and barbershops got targeted so early on. Possibly it's because I get my haircut like around once a year. I actually just went last week and got my haircut. It had been since Mother's Day that I had last gotten it cut. But like, I don't get that close to people. And also your back is to them usually. So I don't know. I guess we didn't know very much back then about how things spread. So.
Well, even as things started to open up, I remember my aunt would like wear the mask. Mm-hmm. And then she also had like the big helmet.
The
thing,
shield, like the face helmet, shield.
The shield thing.
Yeah.
Over that. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just but you're right. Like, why could you go to a restaurant but not go to?
Yeah, it was weird.
Because even like I would keep my mask on and I'd only take it off briefly when like around the ears, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's going to be one of those professions that is kind of timeless. Like, you know, people are decrying AI right now. Oh, it's going to eliminate this profession and that profession. And if you go to a fast food restaurant, at least up here in the Cleveland area, a lot of the McDonald's and some of the Wendy's and some of the other fast food chains are doing a computer touch screen if you go in. But I want to say it was like Taco Bell. The drive-through, it's a computer voice, and then it does like voice recognition. So you're ordering in the drive-through with a voice, but it's not a person. But there are some professions that you just are going to have a person still. And I wonder if barbers, like, it's a profession that's been around since literally centuries. So I wonder if that's just going to be forever.
Well, and then like in a post-apocalyptic situation, will that be one of the professions that survives, right? Like,
right.
I'm trying to think of, we have plenty of examples of apocalyptic movies where, mm-hmm. you know, humanity is rebooted in some capacity. And like, what are people still doing? And I'm trying to think of any cases where I've seen a barber in those situations. But
okay,
well,
just because they don't show it in Hollywood, it just means that they didn't think about showing it.
Well, that's true.
Like, did you see any characters that had a good haircut? Or was it all bald or dreadlocks? Because if it's just bald or dreadlocks, you probably don't need a barber. But if it's anything resembling an actual haircut.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just thinking of, I think just about in every, never do the characters look like, I remember like we would watch The Walking Dead and Danny be like, they obviously are keeping up with themselves, right? Like they have makeup on and stuff.
This is a little bit of a tangent. This is a complaint in lots of things. And you have to choose when you're writing your fiction, like, are you going to show people using the restroom? Are you going to show women menstruating? Like,
right. Are you going to show people who haven't had a haircut in 20 years?
Right, right. Yeah. Or is this just, we're not going to even address this. We're worried about zombies or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we can use The Walking Dead to predict if barbers are going to still be around. Is what I'm saying.
But I think they would be. I feel like that's like,
yeah.
All things aside, things are rough and I want to have.
I feel like we would do what we did during the pandemic. You know, somebody who actually, you know, has an okay-ish steady hand and maybe a knack for it is going to get tasked with doing that for their small group of people.
I think I mentioned on a previous episode that I used to occasionally do some tech work for a really large estate in Ohio.
Yes.
That the inventor of the drop ceiling used to own. And it's now since, like, it's out of that family. And I think some private equity firm bought it and is turning it into like a private club or something.
Yeah.
Like,
cause he had a helicopter pad and all sorts.
Yeah. And I mean, just like tons of like waterfront property. It was quite an amazing place. But this guy had a barbershop in his house. And it was outfitted with like a traditional barbershop chair and like the whole thing. And I think it's just a kind of an interest/passion that he had was having. I don't think he had somebody on staff necessarily, but I could see him like calling somebody in to get his, you know, shave and haircut at his own.
They do that in assisted living places too. They have assisted living where they'll have a salon set up and they'll have someone come in and, you know, curl and set all the old lady's hair. And
That's cute.
Use those same chairs to have the podiatrist come in and take care of their feet. Because that's a thing when you get older. Yeah. And
if I was super rich and I was designing this massive lakefront house,
would I put a barber shop in?
I mean, how many rooms would I need?
I feel like you don't care enough about your hair.
No. I mean, this place had like 50 or 60 rooms or something insane, right? And one of them was the barber shop. I think even with 60 rooms, I would find some other use for that room. Hopefully someday I am so rich I have to decide if I want the barbershop.
I mean, you're
going to
have a podcast room. There's a podcast room. I could see you having like the very cool like flight simulator or race car simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I would have dedicated. That.
I mean, I'm surprised I don't have that in my 12
Ohio house
or whatever. Yeah.
I could see you doing like a poker room or something like that, like with a nice poker table. Or are you more of a pool person?
If I had to choose, I would have a poker table.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool to have a group of friends.
I think we could continue listing like dozens and dozens and dozens of things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could get down to like the room where I store batteries would probably be like higher up on the list than barbershop. And you know, I don't know how long we've been at this, but
not that long. But I feel like it's a struggle bus.
We've been recording for 47 minutes.
I know, but not on topic.
No, that's true. That's true.
That's okay though. I mean, this is not like a history podcast. I hope that nobody listening to this is listening to legitimately like gain knowledge.
Hey, we Googled from two separate things.
We did Google it, and I read out my sources, to be fair. Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's interesting. Rob has been listening to a couple different podcasts, and it's like, oh, these people prepare in a way that Matt and I do not.
No.
At all.
And he's still never listened to ours.
To the best of my knowledge, no.
I think we should give a break.
I mean, I have plenty of like a chat with you about, but not on topic. And we're making an effort here to stay on topic.
I'm surprised we got 47 minutes of recording in.
Same.
So, yeah. But that means it's going to be like probably after editing like 25. So,
you know what? Nobody complains that, oh, your podcast is too short.
Too short. Yeah. No, they're probably happy when ours is too short. So,
yeah. You want to call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
Hey, you should tell them about the phone number and the mug again, in case.
Oh, yeah. You might win a coffee mug. Leave us a voicemail. 216-505-0180. I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we'll talk to you soon.